Vince, I want you to welcome Eddie Montague, our National League umpire here. Supervisor this year. He thought he was on vacation, too, until the replay thing started. So now he's put the headset on so you can hear.
Get in there, Eddie.
Now he's back to work again, of course, supervising the umpires all the time. And now further having to review a lot of the replay plays. There you go, Pat. We got a good engineer here. All right, Ed, get the mic there. Eddie, how are you?
I'm great.
All right. Hey, nice to see you again today. And this week we said goodbye to Candlestick. At least they said goodbye after the 99th season. But for you, it was fun talking with you about Candlestick. You were there as a kid, the opening day of Candlestick. But as an umpire in Candlestick, everyone's talking about the players and the fans.
Yeah.
What about the umpires at Candlestick? Take us through some of your background on that.
Well, it was a thrill coming in and going to Candlestick. And my first sight of Candlestick, it looked like a flying saucer to me when I walked up Cardiac Hill with my dad. I was 11 years old. But as an umpire...
You got to get right on it, Ed. Sorry about
I'll
that.
Kiss the sponge.
Get some.
But as an umpire, a lot of great memories. For me, though, it was like... I didn't mind it because I was home. At that time, we were traveling. We were on the road for a month and a half, sometimes 2 months, going to all 12 National League cities. So when I came home to work Candlestick, I was kind of used to the cold weather out there from being a vendor and stuff. But still, that wind, I told you the story about working first base one day, and Willie Mack, McCovey's playing first base. We got a runner on, and... We're standing there getting focused in on the play, and all of a sudden in front of us pops a $10 bill, and all three of us flinched, and before we knew it, it was out on the left field wall up with all the hot dog wrappers.
The wind of Candlestick, Eddie Montague with us. But from an umpire's standpoint of just working with the wind and getting used to it, I mean, of course, you're a kid, you're at Candlestick, you're a hot dog vendor. Remember that?
Yeah.
Can you recreate your famous call for the hot dogs?
Hot dogs. Hey, loaf of bread, pound of meat, all the mustard you can eat. Get them while they're hot. Hot dogs.
I love it. That's why I eat dinner with him every night. He does that when we have dinner.
But this is a show and tell. We're on radio. But these were the original lineup cards from my first game in 1974.
Wow.
And, of course, for me, that was one of my greatest thrills, being able to work in a big league game. And they called me up the last couple games of the season. We had a two-hour and five-minute ball game, and the crowd was 1,115, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah. But to me, it was like 50,000. It was great.
But did the wind bother you? Did you wear extra clothing and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, you wouldn't think in California, but you're wearing the thermos. You know, you got the thermals on, and at that time we weren't allowed to wear gloves or anything. Today they can wear gloves and ski mask and the whole thing. But the wind, it would bother you working the plate when it was blowing at you and your eyes and stuff like that. I remember a lot of players, Robbie Thompson wore contacts, and Robbie was always backing out of the box, and you know, because it was tough on hitters, too.
Yeah, Eddie Montague with Marty Lurie, Patrick Connor, Willie Mays Plaza, the Public House Patio. Hey, Ed, you just mentioned the sparse attendance, to say the least, in the old days at Candlestick. Did that affect your intensity at the game, or were you totally unaware of the fans? I mean, what was the crowd, and how did that affect your job as an umpire?
It doesn't. When you get out there, you get focused, and you're just focusing on the game. So if it's, I worked in Florida when we had 80,000 for the World Series.
Right.
You know, in that game, 1,500. Of course, the crowd noise is a little louder.
Okay.
But you're focused on a ball game.
You don't feel any more pressure with just with 30,000 as opposed to 300.
No, actually, because when you're working with 30 or 40,000 people in a ballpark, you're not hearing that one fan at Candlestick Park.
Okay.
You heard that one fan. It was probably my brother out there screaming at me. Where was that pitch?
Hey, but, you know, you brought up an interesting point. And that is umpires. I remember that they would have ski masks on almost. And, you know, they would go over their nose and the gloves. Remember the games in Wrigley?
Yep. Detroit, A's and Tigers.
Remember that stuff, Eddie?
I'll have to bring you a picture. The first time we didn't have ski masks, what we had was turtlenecks. And I remember getting a note from Chubb Feeney because we're in Wrigley Field and it was freezing cold and the wind's blowing. And I made this turtleneck useful and I pulled it up over my nose. And there's a great picture that was in the paper. You know, in the Chicago Tribune or Times the next day, it was Dutch Rennert and I with the the turtlenecks up over our nose look like we're going to rob a bank or something.
Ken Kaiser got into that.
Well, in 1997, working the world, or 1991, Cleveland and, no, 97, Cleveland and Florida. Paul Runge was our supervisor at that time, and they allowed us to get ski masks because it was so cold it snowed during that series. And Paul said, just don't abuse it. Well, we came to the home plate to get the lineup cards. It wasn't that bad, but Kaiser had the ski mask up to his eyes. I mean, was...
Hey, I know you're not going to talk a lot about replay because it's still under construction. Let's put it that way.
We're calling it a work in progress.
It's
work
evolving. Progress, right? It's evolving, gentlemen.
Deviate. That's the key for the play at home plate. That's it. But Bruce Bochy and I talked about it, Pat and I talked about it, and you were great with the managers, Bobby Cox and all that kind of stuff. I kind of miss the manager coming out and getting into it a little bit with the umpire. It was part of the entertainment process of baseball. Now, you've watched all these games here. Yeah. One ejection, Rick Renteria on balls and strikes. Don't you miss this?
You know, it's my son Brett said, Dad, he says, this is not good. He says, because it was like a hockey fight. You kind of look forward to that. Yeah. Now, did we look forward to it? No, but we handled it. It was situations. And my last game behind the plate in Miami, I ended up with a concussion. I warned both benches. I threw Charlie Manuel out, and we were nose-to-nose at the dugout. And it was like, you know, they said, look at these two old war horses going at it. And the next day, you know, gave Charlie a thumbs up. Everything's good. But, yeah, I don't know if you're going to see that too much anymore. Maybe on balls and strikes.
Yeah, but then you're gone.
Yeah.
Balls and strikes.
Can't argue, so it'll be short. Bobby Cox and I, we got into some pretty good, you know, arguments, and yeah.
Well, the other night, Pat, I don't know if you were here, but Roger Craig was here on the Goodbye
Candlestick
Night.
I heard all about it, yeah.
You know, and there's a great picture that Beer Can took of Eddie and Roger Craig, and Eddie threw Roger Craig out of the dining room.
I tossed him out of the dining room.
He tossed him. I don't mean that literally. Not, he didn't pick him up. But
sure.
They recreated one of the great
That's
scenes,
fantastic.
And he threw him out. It was pretty good.
It was great to see Roger, and I just wanted to relive something.
The old hum baby. Was he much of a barker from the dugout back in his day as a giant skipper?
No, Roger was great.
That southern charm, huh?
You know, and we were talking last night about Roger Craig, and it came up to me. You know, as a young umpire, you learn different things. And I remember Roger came out on a play, and I said, Roger, I thought he tagged the bag. And Roger said, you thought.
Uh-huh.
I never said the word thought the rest of my career. I mean, you learn different things. And Roger said, what do you mean you thought? But Roger was great.
Okay.
Yeah, Roger was great.
You know, good question, Pat, but going back to giant managers, just Giants managers, and, of course, your first game, you brought the lineup card, Wes Westrup. A barker? Was he a chirper?
God, that was so long ago, I don't remember. I don't think so, because you know what? As a kid, growing up with my dad being a scout and in the Giant family and stuff, you know, I knew Wes as a young kid. So I don't think he bothered me. He may have wanted to, but at those times, he and Bill Rigney.
How about the rest
like
of them?
That?
Yeah, how about Frank Robinson, Dave Bristol, Davenport?
Dave Bristol was the worst.
Dusty?
Yeah, Dave Bristol, I think, was one of the worst for me and a lot of umpires. Dave was a real pain. But Frank Robinson was tough, but if you worked hard and stuff, he left you alone. And then later on, he became our boss with Major League Baseball, and Frank was great, you know.
How about Dusty?
Dusty was terrific. I had only threw Dusty out of one ball game. We were in Chicago. A guy got hit by a pitch, or he's swinging. He swung and got hit by a pitch, and he's laying on the ground. And I said, well, the good news is, Dusty, he's all right. The bad news is he's still up to bat because he swung at the pitch. And Dusty said something to me that I couldn't say on the air. And I said, Dusty, you're out of here. And I threw him out. And I told the umpires after the ball game, I said, within 5 minutes, there'll be a knock on our locker room door. And it was less than that. It was Dusty came in to apologize.
Wow. Yeah. Delivering some food, no doubt. You know, some oysters or cherries or something.
He just said,
he got the best food ever as a manager.
Yeah. No, he just came in. He always called me Monty. He says, Monty. He says, I said, no problem. I said, because, you know, that was the only time. But Dusty was great.
Yeah, very good. One for Ed here. Adam Jones made some news this week. Because a fan got on the field and he advocated doing very bad things to fans to get on the field. And then, Ed, last night, Curtis Granderson got touched by a fan out in the right field corner of his game. Any weird guys get on the... I'm sure there was a few, but when your days at Candlestick, you ever jump somebody get on the field?
How about Morgana? Didn't she kiss you?
I was at that game. No, she didn't kiss me. She went out and kissed Nolan Ryan.
Right. But she you went, were there in that
she
game?
She bypassed too? Nolan Ryan? For, come
she
on.
She bypassed me. Can you,
you
imagine
were there,
that?
Oh, man.
You were there for that?
That was in Houston.
Oh,
we were
goodness.
In Houston. And yeah, Nolan, I was working third base, and she went right by me, and... You know, and
she bounced by you.
I was on the field in Chicago when a guy ran out of the stands.
Okay.
Stripped completely.
Great.
On the mound and
this had to be Wrigley,
and,
yeah.
And gave the fans number one, and they carted him off. I don't think I'd be like to be the security guard to carted him off.
That's a tough deal.
But that, yeah, I've seen a lot of stuff with the fans, and you know, as a Candlestick. With the Dodgers here, and when Dusty, or not Dusty, but Reggie Smith and
yep.
Jay Johnstone went into the stands,
remember
and
that.
I came over to the dugout to try to calm things down. I was working with Lee Wire and Dutch Rennert and Harry Wendelstadt, and came over to try to calm things down, and Tommy's out screaming at the fans, and sort of, and I said, Tommy, get in the dugout. Before I could get him back in the dugout, we both got showered with beer.
Really? There's a lawsuit out of that one.
Was there?
Yeah.
Wow.
I remember that. There's a lawsuit out there.
I don't think you'd see that today because then beer was 40 cents. Today it's what, 10?
You're lucky if it's 10.
Yeah, you're not going to waste it.
I don't think they're going to waste it.
Pablo Sandoval wants $90 million. You better get those beer prices up, you know?
Hey, Eddie, nice for you to stop by as always.
Oh, this
a pleasure.
Is great. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I even brought a ticket from that first game. Lower
Look at box. That.
Now, what date was it?
This was October 1st, 1974. Lower box seats, $4.50.
Well, that's a used ticket.
Yeah.
So there's only 1,173 more like that.
Well,
somewhere
actually,
around.
I've got six of them because there's six I had in my book there. That was my allotment. So the family was out there that day.
Very good.
I probably had 100 people there that day. So I helped the concessions. Yeah,
very good. And as we let you go, replay as it's still a work in progress. Huh?
It's a work in progress. I think it's so far it's been good. You know,
well,
the last thing you want to do is leave the ball field with a misplay and something.
That's
so,
what you said.
Yeah, and I think that's okay. You know. I think as we get along and into this, it'll speed up. It's been pretty fast so far. There's only been a couple of glitches.
And, San Francisco fans, I know you don't want to crack your bosses, but in Arizona there was two in one inning that kind of were tough deals, you know?
Yeah. And you know what? I think down the road, scoring plays, we'll look at every scoring play. I mean, you know, like I said, it's a work in progress, and it's a good thing.
Yeah, hey, you got to get it right. What about the flow? Has the flow been... bothered you at all? Do you think it's impacted it poorly, or are you good to go with the flow of the game?
I think we'd all like to see the game
tighten up a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a big thing. Pace the game with Major League Baseball.
Keep the batters in the box and make a pitcher throw the ball.
Yeah, that's less to do with replay and more to getting their Nomar Garcia par on and changing the batting gloves and readjusting.
You know, the thing with replay though is. If we didn't have replay, that manager's going to come out and maybe spend 2 minutes arguing.
That's right.
So now they're coming out, we're getting it done, so it's probably about the same amount of time.
Yeah. It's just that we call it six of one, half a dozen of another.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's the way I look. It's just not as dramatic.
That's it.
All right, Eddie Montague, folks.
Way
nice to have him here.
All right, thank you.
As always.
Thank you, Marty.
All right. More coming up. 808 KMBR is the number.